This is a Spike Hunters podcast with co-hosts Carson and Dylan. Today we have packed an episode for all of you featuring both of our hunting seasons so far, including some deer and some near misses on some bucks.
Additionally, towards the end of this podcast, you'll be hearing a feature from one of our close friends, Connor Ferguson. This season, he has managed to tag both his first deer and his first goose, so we'll hear about that. Stay tuned.
The first segment.
So this past season hasn't really gone as expected. We shot some deer, had some near misses. And personally, I'm just gonna let Dylan talk about his experiences so far this season.
Yeah, so starting off the year, I hunted, I don't know, quite a few times, September and October. I didn't really have any close chances. There was one time towards the end of October when the rut was starting to heat up where I had a buck walk in, but he was too far and it was just a little bit too dark for bow range. So that was quite unfortunate, but finally in Maryland, temperatures were starting to cool down and I was getting pretty excited because the rut was starting to heat up. So my game plan going into the rut was just hunting probably the same stands multiple times and just hoping to get lucky because Carson and I had both been having some nice bucks showing up on camera, and whenever there was a cold front, it seemed that they would show up during daylight. So I'd say about November 1st, I really started getting serious. I hunted the first day of November all day, and I managed to have two bucks come pretty close to me. The first one was before shooting light and he was chasing a doe, so I had no shot. The second one skirted me at about 60 yards and just kept on walking, which was unfortunate, but you know, that's how it goes sometimes. So fast forward to around, I believe it was mid-November, I've hunted about 10 times so far, morning or afternoon, depending on whatever was available to me. And I've had a few encounters with some bucks, but nothing really close. So one morning before school, I managed to have a study hall first and second period or something along those lines. So I'm able to sneak out for a quick morning hunt. I get up in the tree about an hour before shooting light and everything seems about normal. It seems about the same as what's been going on. But I mean, it quickly turned around. I was hunting on the field edge, but inside the fields facing the woods. And I looked behind me and I saw a nice 10-pointer chasing some does about 40 yards away. I was unable to get a shot, but it was really cool. And then continuing on in the morning in about 20 minutes, I saw probably three shooter bucks chasing does all throughout the fields. And I was grunting and rattling and they wouldn't give me a look, which is okay. But, you know, I was getting a little antsy. So I there's a little bit of a lull in the action. I was getting a little bit antsy and, you know, I really thought today was my day. So sooner or later, I heard brush snapping and I looked to my left and about 60 yards away, there's a half rack. I guess you consider a 4-pointer, but it would have been a full basket rack 8-pointer if he did not have genetic mutation on the one side. So I see him. I tell myself if he walks within bow range, he's going to get a shot. And unlike the other bucks, he just turns down the one trail leading from the field to the woods where I am. And he presented himself at about 22 yards and I had a shot right through some thick branches. This past summer, we didn't clear a shooting lane there because we didn't expect deer to walk from the field. And I took a shot at him and I hit him and I think it was just a little bit too high. We tracked him. We found decent blood for about 150 yards and then it just kind of went dry. So I backed out, went in the next day and just never really found him again. It kind of sucked, but I don't really know what happened there. So, you know, it is what it is. It's how it goes. It was a tough experience, but I learned from it. After that, kind of sucked. I was kind of done with hunting for a little bit. You know, I was a little bit defeated. So I kind of chilled off and I decided to hunt one day after Thanksgiving. And well, I hunted a different stand than what I was normally done because I thought I was going to have a better chance switching it up. And our shooter buck walked out on the stand I should have hunted. So pretty frustrating bow season for me so far. I'll let Carson talk about his.
All right, so I'm just going to start from the beginning of the season. We put out trail cameras and I think around like September, late August, right before season started, I had this big 10-pointer and that was just kind of my target buck. And so that was my goal the whole entire season, early season, just try to get him before rifle. And it did not really go to his plan. It was annoying. So I'll see him. He will show up on my camera. And I'll be like, all right, I'm going to hunt the next day. That hunt would not show up.
And that seemed to be the pretty general consensus the entire deer season for us.
So then I was like, all right, maybe he just doesn't show up 2 days in a row. Shows up 2 days in a row. Then I skip. Then he shows up, does not show up the day I hunt. Then I said, all right, maybe 3 days. Shows up 3 days in a row. Then I hunt the fourth day, does not show up.
Yeah.
But then we'll show up the day right after. It'll be the same current, same thing over and over again, where I just never showed up. And I didn't know if it was my scent. I don't know if it was that. Try to get some good winds. I would down myself in no scent. Make sure I had no smell at all. Had all the camouflage on. Made sure I like blend in. I even like bought a ghillie suit this year just in case. Just try to hide in. But I never really need it because never really walked out. So then after trying to kill like a buck forever, I know like my dad, he always jokes around with me. He's like, so when are you finally going to shoot one? When are you finally going to shoot one? And he absolutely hates deer. So I was like, all right, family tradition. I at least got to kill some
deer. Got to put something down. Got to get some meat in the freezer, right?
Got to feed the family somehow. Yeah. So I have one stand where I killed my first buck like 2 years ago. And I was like, all right, I'm walking with a plan tonight. I'm killing a doe. I'm going to kill maybe two if I try to. So then I go in the stand, and I think around like 4:40, 4:30, like hour left of shooting light, somewhere around there, I finally hear movement, and like six does walk all down to the corn pile all at once. So I was like, all right. Then I wait for one. There's like one bigger one out of all of them. I said, all right, I'll just take my shot on this one. They were kind of small, but it was like the one I shot was like two and a half years old. Like,
oh, yeah, it was a good size doe.
Like average doe, yeah, not like normal. Some big mama doe, but I'll take it. Then I shoot her. I like tried filming it, and I forgot I hit record. So when I hit record, I accidentally stopped the video and kind of missed out on that, but...
You know, that's how it goes sometimes. You know, yeah. you shot another one that night too, right?
Yeah,
shot at another one.
Yeah, so later that night, I had like a spike walk out, and part of the Spike Hunters podcast, I got close to shooting him, but couldn't really do it. And then about 2 minutes left of shooting light, I see this deer, not really seeing it too much, but she was on corn pile, and I felt confident it was a doe. And then I had trouble seeing her through my scope, but I saw her take a step, kind of showed her where she was, and so I tried taking the shot, quartering away from me, so I said, all right, this is going to be good. So then I took the shot, then I called Dylan to help me track the deer. So the first one, I felt absolutely perfect about the shot, but it was, like, weird. We couldn't find a single drop of blood.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that broadhead that you shot wasn't the greatest. I think after the fact, we're probably going to, you know, reevaluate that and probably not use that anymore because, so Carson got new broadheads and he shot the first deer and we tracked that thing for about 300 yards and it turned out it wasn't as good as a shot as we think. And, you know, it was just muscle. It happens sometimes. Yeah. But as we're walking back, I mean, you want to tell them?
So we tracked this deer like 300 yards and we're like, all right, we're going to move on to the second deer. Then we get like someone lost, but we're like walking back to the stand and right in front of us was a dead doe. And we're like, huh? How did this get here? And it happened to be the first doe that I shot. And we looked at like the entry exit wounds and the broadhead did not open at all.
It was a perfect shot. I'll give Carson the credit where credit is due. I mean, he 10 ring this thing and it just, you know, it died really quick. It just didn't bleed a lot because there wasn't a very big hole.
And, yeah, we couldn't even find the exit hole.
It was ridiculous.
I was like, man, there was a lot of blood on the bolt, but couldn't find it. So the like bullet I used, broadhead, I had like some Walmart special when I first started hunting like 40 years ago. And I was like, all right, I have to put this thing to use. I don't know if... Actually, I think I shot like one or two does with those type of broadheads. Yeah. But I was like, all right, I switched over to Rage. I didn't really feel like using one of like my brand new nice broadheads on a doe where I felt confident that I was gonna kill. So yeah, I probably should have maybe used a little bit of a nicer one. Yeah.
Live and learn, right? Well,
but if you look at it, it still got the job done.
Yeah, definitely. And so then, you know, we moved on. We'll probably wrap this up soon. We'll just give you a quick summary of, you know, our rifle season. I mean,
yeah,
for me, it was pretty slow. I was able to put my little brother on his first doe, which was pretty cool. And, you know, Carson got a new rifle, mm-hmm. which was pretty cool.
Yeah, so, you know, I ordered this rifle online. I got a Ruger American, like, hunter rifle or rifle hunter, 6.5 Creedmoor. I was about to get a 308, but everyone told me 6.5 Creedmoor round was the best one around. And honestly, I started bleeding them, and I got it. And it's not too bad around. So first day, I got to shoot it. I think I had, like, Thanksgiving dinner the night before. It was right before rifle season. And I shoot it, and I could not hit a target at, like, 100 yards. I don't know what I was doing that day. But so the next day, like, I got to shoot. And I was actually, I don't know what happened, but I started shooting better, and I love my new rifle. So then to go hunting, we didn't shoot anything. Then I go later with Connor, and there's the one like 225 yards, somewhere around there. I go out, take the shot. I didn't really see how it reacted, but Connor said it like hind kicked. I think that's, honestly, I forgot the name of it, but
donkey kick.
Yeah, donkey kick. He said donkey kick, looked good, all that. And I was happy with the shot. Then about 30 minutes later, Connor does the same, 275 yards, like a longer shot. And that looked kind of good too. Looked like donkey kicks as well. So we're like, we both got two does down. Why not just try to kill a buck now? And then later in the night, we had like probably 12 more does out in the field. And we're like, all right, let's wait for a buck. We got two does down. Then we didn't see any bucks. Go out there, check the deer. No blood on both of them. So I don't know what the problem with the 865 Creedmoor is. Not the round, but yeah. But then finally, my last experience rifle of the season, I'm hunting with Dylan. It's 9 years shooting light. And I was like, all right, Dylan, we got a deer in the field 200 yards away. So I said, I'm killing this deer. I'm going to kill it. I've not had a confirmed kill with my rifle. So as soon as shooting light goes out there, I got to try to take a shot. And I did not see any antlers on this. I tried to zoom in all I can on my scope. And when I was trying to zoom in, the scope kept on fogging up. So it took me about like a minute to finally get on the deer. Then I did and dropped him dead in its tracks. But about 20 minutes later, Dylan pulls out his binoculars and says, I see antlers on that. And I was not happy about that. If I saw antlers, I was hoping to be 8-pointer, but it was some really bad genetic, like 4-pointer. It was like it was a fork on one side and basically a spike with a super tiny point down the bottom, like a small brow time on the like right side, left side. I forgot what I said, but yeah. That's kind of wrapping up our rifle season so far.
Yeah, pretty good. We have one more 2-day this weekend, but other than that, you know, it's slowing down, but we'll see how it goes. All right, and now we'll be moving on to our next segment where we discuss our very, very slow duck season before we have a feature from our special guest, Connor Ferguson.
A word from our sponsor.
These have been the best beers I have had. If you want to be like me, come down to Rain Acres and get the new local Rain Heavy beer. The beer is made with the barley harvested from the farm. After trying it once, this will be the only beer you will need.
The second segment.
All right, so as you guys know, this podcast is called Spike Hunters. It's about deer hunting for the most part. But, you know, we like to move around. We like to try a bunch of different things. So, you know, Carson and I are pretty avid duck hunters and goose hunters for that matter. You know, Eastern Shore of Maryland, that's what most people do. So we'll talk about
don't forget about dove hunting.
Yeah, dove too. Wing shooters. So, you know, that's how it goes. But we'll talk about, first off, Maryland has three different splits, so October, November, December, and through January. And we'll discuss probably our November split first. I mean, I'll start us off. We did pretty good the first day. We hunted a buddy's pond or buddy's impoundment, and we shot about 15 ducks.
Yeah,
we limited out on black ducks and shot a couple gadwall as well.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty good hunt to start out with. It looked like the season was going to go pretty well.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where our hopes were going. And I think, do we hunt like a couple days later as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we hunted a couple days later. And then it's not going to be as good as the first hunt. That's kind of what we expected. But I think we still got 6 or 7 out of
it. Yeah, pretty good number of black ducks. I mean, that's mostly what we shoot out there. So we were pretty happy with that. And my brother was able to shoot his first black duck, which was a cool bonus. Mm. But I guess we'll move right to December because that's like the where it really started to go wrong.
It didn't go wrong.
Yeah, well, off the start it wasn't. We hunted the same spot first day of December. We shot 7 ducks, which was kind of slower than we were expecting, but not bad. We shot 2 mallards and 5 black ducks, which isn't bad at all. We had a really fun time. The next day was probably one of the best hunts I've ever been on. I mean, you can talk about it a little bit. We'll share it.
So we go over like our buddy's property over, I don't even, where is it? Yeah.
Secret location, undisclosed.
Secret location. We can't really tell people, but we go there. He says he has all these ducks in there, so we get excited. And Dylan, thank God Dylan came, because everyone's staying there kind of, I don't know what happened. We all were just kind of slept in.
Yeah, so I was pretty sleep deprived at this point, and you know, I decided to go home and sleep the night before, and everyone else just went out to the friend's house, and I guess they stayed up a little too late, and so I showed up at 4:30 in the morning like I was supposed to, and while I was locked out and everyone was asleep, so I had to do some serious MacGyver type thing to break in the house and wake everyone up.
Yeah. So, like, I think he went in my truck or something, took my spotlight.
Yeah, and then I backed my truck up to the window and spotlighted people until they woke up, which was pretty, and then they let me in.
Yeah, I still don't have that spotlight. I lost it, but,
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe it's at, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's still there.
Probably, but anyways, right? So, you know, everyone's moving pretty slow. Mm. Shooting light's about 6:30, and, I mean, I'd say I was trying to move everyone along, but we didn't get out there until 6:10.
Yeah, so. I think around 6:10. So it was like, we got still some people there, still tired. Or I think the person's property we were hunting, I think he was sleeping in his truck.
Yeah. So definitely was a lot slower going. And we had to set, there was a lot of birds in this pond from what we'd seen. So we had to set a lot of decoys to really make it realistic. And we still didn't I hadn't seen this place in daylight, so I didn't even know where we were going to hide. So, I don't know. I get out there. Carson, another buddy, and I really start doing the work. I mean, we were setting all the decoys. Carson set a decoy spread in the field behind us. I was setting all the floaters. We set about 4 dozen mallard decoys and about 12.5 floater geese and about 5 dozen off the back in the field. I mean, it was a big spread.
Yeah.
So we did that, and I mean, we somehow did that in 10 minutes. And I mean, we had birds flying probably 6:25, and we didn't move the trucks until about 6:26. But, you know, the biggest part for us was finding the hide. And, you know, the issue was that there was timber, but it was, we weren't sure of it. And there wasn't a lot of wind, but so Carson, you want to tell them how you ended up, and I'll talk about my morning.
Yeah, so we get up. So me and the person that the property that we're on, we go hide somewhere else because there wasn't really that much room. So then there's like probably 5 other people in the timber.
Yeah.
So then on the first light, like ducks come in, and 5 people off the right, they were absolutely slaying ducks. We watched them come in, all folded. Like, we couldn't even really get a shot off half the time. They would all just die right in front of us before we get a shot off. Then, I think it was the second group that came in, though. I have a bad problem with, like, just not aiming down my barrel when I shoot. But, I see mallards, I go shoot. And I think I got my first 100% confirmed kill on a Drake mallard. So, I was happy about that. There's been a couple instances where I felt like I killed a Drake mallard, but, you know. Some buddies like claim ducks sometimes, and
you know it happens. I'm gonna rewind here. So from what I remember, first right off the rip at shooting light, 6:31 came, and I mean we had ducks flying almost immediately, and they were doing it with no hesitation. It was going beautifully, but actually the first I got a little nervous right off the rip because the first 3 ducks that came in landed in front of Carson and the other friend, and that's when they got a shot. You guys got the first shot.
Oh, we did?
Yeah. So we got a little nervous because we saw them wreck them, and, you know, it was pretty cool because they were getting some shooting in, and we didn't know if they were, but, you know, we didn't know if they were going to come to us anymore. And then, I mean, just like a switch, ducks started flying and we'd have four packs, three packs coming in, nothing would leave. I mean, we were shooting the best I've ever seen people shoot. And I mean, it was like that for a solid 20 minutes. And we ended up with 17 mallards or so.
Should have been 18.
Should have been 18 plus Carson and Ben, the friend we were hunting with, actually had a black duck fly over their heads at 20 yards and they missed six times. So
no, it was actually, so, well, let me talk about that real quick.
No, we gotta move along with this segment, so we're not gonna give this too much.
It was three times that I didn't shoot.
Oh, actually. Okay. Well, they missed a black duck at 20 yards, which was quite unfortunate, but it is what it is. So anyways, moving along, the ducks kind of shut off right around 7 o'clock, which was unfortunate, but it was okay. We'll take it, whatever. And then the real fun part started kicking in was we had geese flying everywhere. The ducks, obviously amazing. We shot 17 ducks, but we didn't see that many ducks. We just killed every duck that we saw. Mm-hmm. The geese, oh my gosh, we must have seen over 500 geese. And I mean, they were coming in. Some of them were doing it perfect. Some of them, we took a rushed passing shot, which was, you know, probably in hindsight, not the greatest decision. But I mean, really, we started wrecking the geese. I mean, they were doing it. Groups of twos and fours coming right in.
There wasn't that much groups, to be honest. I think we just shot well in the geese.
Really? Right when the geese started flying, they all got off the roost about a mile away from us, and we had a huge flock come by, and we got a little antsy, and we shot into a big group that we probably shouldn't have. Probably would have killed more if we just waited.
Yeah.
But after that, Carson's right, we didn't see that many flocks, but the flocks we did see came right in, and I mean, we shot pretty dang good.
Yeah, I remember like one time, I don't know, I hear geese, and I turn around, they're like cupping up, and they're like 5 yards in front of me, right in front of my face. That was like a first to me, and got them first shot.
Yeah.
And some buddy dropped them like almost right in front of my face.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how it goes sometimes. Yeah.
But I don't know, I got trust in him, so.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, that was one of the most fun hunts we've been on, for sure. But, all right, we'll move past that and just move on to the really crappy part. So, I don't know. Any of the listeners know, but it's an El Nino year, which means it's a warmer winter than usual, and that kind of sucks for us duck hunters because, you know, we need cold weather to push ducks down. So make a long story short, we haven't been seeing birds. We haven't been seeing anything. All the private spots we have been empty. I've been looking around on public here and there, and I just haven't seen the numbers that I would normally see in December and January. So we've been going every single day that we can, but, you know, the numbers just aren't there what we expect. Yeah. So it is what it is, but, you know.
It's kind of like demotivating.
Yeah, definitely a little bit like, you know, it's hard to want to go. One of the best spots, I think, in Maryland, I have permission to hunt. And usually, you know, you can go out there and, I mean, the reason you don't shoot ducks is because you mess it up normally. And, well, I mean, I haven't been seeing birds there at all. So we're hoping for a better second half of our third split, but I mean, as of right now, it's not going too good. We're gonna go tomorrow, but we'll see how it goes. And yeah, I mean, that's basically our duck season so far. Today's January 5th, so we still got 3 weeks left in the season. Yeah. So, well, you know,
I got like two. Is
oh yeah, Carson's leaving the last week of the season, which is a little unfortunate for him. Yes. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Hopefully it cools down, but it as the forecast right now, it's not looking too good. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean,
if not, we got snow geese to follow up.
That's the one thing we're hoping for, and then you know, turkey season's right around the corner. Yeah, so I love turkey hunting. So
yeah, also especially when you're deer hunting, you see four toms.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, one of these places we got hunting right now looks like it's gonna be a good turkey season.
But you know how it is. It's like soon as turkey season comes around, you're gonna have 20 deer out in the field and about zero turkeys, can't find them anywhere. So I feel like they kind of know what the season is.
Yeah, definitely they do.
Right now, it's looking pretty good.
Oh, yeah. All right, so yeah, that's all about our duck season. So next, I hope you guys are excited because we're going to have a special guest coming on the podcast soon. All right, let's go to Connor Ferguson. All right.
The third segment.
All right, and now we are joined by our guest, Connor Ferguson. Connor, say hello to the podcast.
Hello, podcast.
All right. My first question for the evening is, Connor, talk to me about your first deer. You got one this weekend.
So my first deer was a pretty nice deer. Shot it with my crossbow. Actually, the first shot, I initially shot it in the spine, which paralyzed the deer, and it was flopping around on the ground for a little bit, and then finally I got another shot in it, and it killed it. So yeah,
so that's a very impressive achievement, yeah, Connor. Yeah. So, a very impressive achievement.
Also, you must have went deer hunting before that, before you killed your first deer. So, you got any other stories that happened before, like trying to chase down your first deer?
Yeah. So one time, I saw this one deer, but it came into the corn. I mean, it didn't really come to the corn, actually, but it was, like, kind of far. But mm-hmm. I saw it and couldn't really get a shot off on it, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else? So, also, I had a trail cam video of this 8-point buck, I think, walked right onto the corn. Anything happened there? Because I was pretty sure you hung that stand that day. So, what happened then?
Might have been me. Might have not been me.
All right. I'd say probably we'll move from deer season here, because deer season was pretty short for the most part. You know, we'll go to duck season.
Yeah.
How would you describe your first goose? I heard you had that happen this year.
Oh, yeah. So my first goose, Carson, me and Carson out hunting. We see this one goose, but I thought it was a duck, so I started duck calling at it. You know what I'm saying? But the goose comes.
That's very relatable, yes.
Yeah. I think someone was already goose calling at it before you started duck calling.
No. Anyway, so the goose starts coming in, and Carson, it gets behind us, right? And it's about to, like, circle up and go back in front of us. But Carson says, shoot it when it's behind us. So, I stayed laying down in my layout blind, and I look back. And I point the gun at the goose, and the goose goes bye-bye.
That's very impressive, honestly. I'll give you that.
In my defense on why I called that shot, so the spot that we were hunting, there's a couple ponds right next to it, and the geese there, you can't really decoy them. They're already set on where they're trying to go.
Yeah, that's very true.
It kind of scared me on, it could be the only geese we see all day that someone
gets. Goose, goose.
Goose, yeah, goose. Well, yeah, you get the point. We're kind of all messed up, but only goose that we saw all day, maybe, that someone gave us a shot, so I decided to call it. Hopefully, just didn't turn around and go in the ponds.
Yeah, that was very impressive. This is, like, the first time Carson's actually called in a bird, so he actually has a, you know, history of being a bit special with the goose call, so I was very, very happily surprised. I think probably my last question for Connor is, how would you rate your experience overall this season? This is your first real year hunting, so how'd you like it?
A lot of firsts, you know, for my hunting season. My hunting career, my hunting season next year will probably be much better. But, you know, learned a lot this year. And, you know, next year we're coming out with a bang, so yeah. Be ready.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Thank you, Connor, for coming on with us. Yeah. And yes, we'll see you next episode. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for listening to the Spike Hunters podcast. Make sure to tune in next time, where we will discuss the upcoming turkey season and how to get those gobby gobbies.